You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning at 6:06 on this Thursday morning, March 20th, 2025. And it's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, all across the Civic Media Radio Network. And whether you're listening on the app or watching us on social media or by podcast, however you get us through the app, all of it's much appreciated. Nice to have you here. My question for you is this. Do you, you have one of these yet? He said, pointing to his I voted sticker. Yeah, early voting is underway. And I did my part yesterday, heading up to the beautiful town hall here in Eagle Point in Chippewa County and filling out my absentee ballot in person, sealing it up in the little envelope, handing it back to my town clerk, and it will be counted on Tuesday, April 1st, Election Day. And you can do the same thing. There is still time for early voting. It's going to run throughout next week as well. But in all cases, you've got to work with your local clerk because they control the hours and the access to in-person early absentee voting. So head over to myvote.wi.gov to learn how to contact your clerk's office and get that ballot filled out. Coming up on the program today, we'll be talking a lot about one of the races on the ballot, and that would be for State Supreme Court. Last night, I was prompted to put that in my notes because of a story about Elon Musk giving donations to Republican members of Congress. Not just any Republican members of Congress, but the ones who are most diabolical in doing the bidding of Elon Musk and his buddy Donald Trump in undermining the United States Constitution. And tops on that list is Wisconsin's Derek Van Orden, who got his 30 pieces of silver from Elon Musk, the world's richest man. Elon Musk maxed out a donation to Congressman Van Orden for demanding and being the first in Congress to demand the impeachment of a federal judge. So that there was that, for starters. We'll say a little bit more about that coming up. We'll talk to Joe Zepecki in a bit about Brad Schimmel, back to the Supreme Court race here. Brad Schimmel, what did he do this time? I've got two different things here. One is he was rehashing the old trope about voting irregularities in Wisconsin's largest city. So I was making note of that last night while watching the big Grand Ole Opry concert. We'll talk about that in a sec. But then this morning in the Journal Sentinel comes a lengthy new column from Dan Bice. And it gets into a lot of detail about the many, many, many times that Brad Schimmel has not had the kindest things to say about women with whom he disagrees. A little bit about a man or two that I can see, but for the most part, if you are a woman who is not of the far right wing, you are either dumb, you are imbalanced, you are not sophisticated, you are nuts. We'll go through all the details on that. So we've got a lot to say about the Brad Schimmel race for State Supreme Court, but Derek Van Orden also definitely falls into the crosshairs as well for what he's been trying to do to undermine the U.S. Constitution. We've got more as well. We've got on this Thursday, that means Luke Mathers will join us later on in the show. And we will be joined by meteorologist Brittany Merlot to talk about the weather. We have our state capitol update, as we often do on Thursdays at 7:30, with State Senator Jeff Smith and new State Representative Vinnie Moress. So we'll talk to them coming up in just a little bit. But back to the weather. Not a flake of snow here in Chippewa Falls. And by the school district, canceled classes yesterday, having heard the local weather forecasts about just how bad things could be, and not a single snowflake fell. All day long, the radar showed that it was, you know, that there was snow potentially out there, but it never hit the ground here because temperatures all day long were around 36, 37 degrees. But the same cannot be said for folks south of us. They got hit pretty hard. Let me look at some of the snowfall totals here. By and large, in the 5 to 9 inch range, from La Crosse all the way up to Crivitz. You had La Crosse with 8.5 inches, Neillsville with 9 inches, Warrens with 9 inches. And it was a very defined line on the snow. One example would be on I-94 as you leave Eau Claire and head southeast. You get to Osseo, which is, 20 miles down the road, and they got 1.5 inches of snow. You go just a little bit further down the road to Hixton, 7 inches of snow there. There was very, very, it was as predicted in that there was a belt of snow that got hit pretty hard. But then for the rest of us, either just some rain, but certainly a lot of wind. And it continues to be windy out there at the bus stop this morning. It's 28 here on Lake Wissota, 23 in Hayward, 25 in Amory, 27 in Wausau. Wisconsin Rapids is at 26, La Crosse 28, Green Bay 31, Madison 30, Milwaukee 33. And at Radio Park in Racine, it's 34 degrees, and I am led to understand that the snow is still fallen in the greater Kenosha area, not far from where we find Mr. Bach. Good morning.
That is correct. It's there's little bits of flakes coming down right now in Racine, very, very little, just almost like the aftermath of a snowstorm. But in Kenosha, when I woke up this morning, I got out of the car. Cars were covered, snow is coming down pretty hard, but not sticking as much as it's just kind of a road hazard right now.
Yes, it is. So folks continue to be very careful. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm happy that we didn't have to deal with it here, but folks really got a final present on the final day of winter. Happy first day of spring. We made it. I know it doesn't quite feel like it yet, but we made it to spring. Yeah. And the Brewers season opener is a week from today.
Oh, baby, I love some baseball.
Cannot wait. Thank you, Gary, for the note on Facebook. Getting back to the elections and early voting, myvote.wi.gov. Again, myvote.wi.gov to, learn more from your local clerk about early voting. And I do. I love early voting. We went up there after Sherry was done with work. We have just this beautiful town hall built in the 1930s. It was a WPA project.
Oh, nice.
Back in the day. It's been a dance hall for, Lord only knows how many weddings over the years and other picnics and celebrations. And it's just always, it's nice to be in there. You truly feel the whole civic duty thing when you're in there. Because our voting booths are just these little pieces of cardboard, yep. With the flag on them, mm-hmm. On three sides, corrugated cardboard. And you just get your little marker and you fill it out on the card table there. And it's as Norman Rockwell as it gets up here,
I was gonna say, it looks like you not only voted, but you also got yourself a haircut.
I did that, and I also cleared out furniture.
I saw that yesterday, but I couldn't interrupt you. Yep. Ooh, stuff's happening. Yeah,
stuff is happening. Now the beautiful bookshelves that are going to be behind me along this wall continue to sit at my feet in these six very heavy boxes from IKEA. But we've now moved all the other stuff out of the way so that perhaps as early as this weekend, ooh, we can start to put that together and probably take video of it along the way just in case it becomes Exhibit A in a divorce trial or something like that. I'm sure we'll be fine. But it's been a while since we had to build furniture together. Yeah. When we were first married, like our first entertainment center, and we've built a couple of other small pieces along the way where we we realize that that's really not the team building exercise that we excel at the most.
No. You know?
Ours is more like our team building exercises, puttering up river on a pontoon. We're really good at that.
Perfect.
You got to know your strengths.
Yeah. My wife invested a long time ago in these DVD like cabinets, like ornate. They weren't just like small and cheap. They were something. And I'm the guy who puts stuff together. And I tried to do it. It took me 7 hours. And then she tried, and it didn't look good. And then she put one on her own, and it didn't look good. And so finally, it was just at the pandemic when lockdown happened. Me and her brother, who was living with us for a few weeks, we put one together, and it looked beautiful. I'm like, oh, this was definitely something that needed two people.
Yes. Yeah. There's very little that you should be doing yourself in this kind of thing. So that's where, again, the team building comes into play. Mm-hmm. And it turns out my bigger challenge may actually be the thing you can see behind me. There's a chair rail running along the middle of the wall.
Oh, you can get rid of that?
And if I want to anchor it, the shelves to the wall, then I have to decide either to remove part of the rail, but not all of it, because then you got this little dead space in the wall where the shelves aren't, or leave the chair rail there and secure the shelves with a longer bracket. And I don't know if that's a thing or not, but I may have to find out.
Yeah. So, well, we will.
More great tales of HGTV radio to come in the days ahead. I did watch the first 2 hours of the 3-hour live celebration of the Grand Ole Opry's 100th birthday, which was really nice. And again, I'm not the world's biggest country music fan. There's a lot that I like. I don't listen to it constantly. Mm-hmm. And there are things I don't like that would get some country music fans mad at me. For example, there was a lot to be said about honoring George Strait. I happen to think George Strait, you gasped.
Go ahead. Say your words.
Look at that. He's looking at me daring me to say the words.
Yeah, go ahead.
George Strait, boring. Boring.
Well, folks, that was fun. Up North News Radio is concluding its broadcasting life.
I've been canceled. Look, I love Amarillo by Morning, but I don't know that I've really liked anything else. But let's get to the happy, not the happy part. He's not even a member.
Crying. That's the weird thing.
Oh, sorry. That says something. Okay. I'm not crying, you're crying moment was with Randy Travis, who has been racked with, you know, a stroke that he's been dealing with for 10 years. Carrie Underwood was singing his big hit Forever and Ever and Ever and Ever and Ever and Ever. And she gets out to the audience just in time for him to struggle to get out the amen. Not a dry eye. Not a dry eye as he sang that last note. It was a really beautiful moment in a really nice show. When we come back, we'll unpack some of the news about Brad Schimmel, Derek Van Orden, and more. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Thursday morning, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started. La, 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 la,
la. When you hunt, you hunt. Well, when he took us into court, I couldn't believe my eyes. The judge was a fishing buddy that I recognized. I said, hey, judge, old buddy, old pal, I'll pay you that $100 if you get me out of this spot. So he gave my friend a little fine to pay. He turned around and grinned at me and said, 90 days, Jerry, when you were hot, you were hot. And I said, thanks a lot, when you're hot, you're hot.
Jerry Reed's birthday today. We'll talk about that in today's history lesson. We need more funny songs. Like, we need more funny story songs.
Oh, yeah.
Like what Jerry Reed used to do. Jim Stafford.
Roger, oh, God, what's his last name? King of the Road,
Roger Miller.
Roger Miller, Little Jimmy Dickens, and do you know who does really well, who has really good funny songs? Brad Paisley. He always has a song or two on there. They're not as over the top as they used to be, but they definitely have funny themes and jokes in there, and he keeps that old style alive.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that is good to know. Tony Weird Al Yankovic. You know.
What about him?
That those are story songs.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
I get it. Or maybe that's his way of saying maybe I would like George Strait more if I listened to the Weird Al version of it. I don't know.
I don't think he's ever covered George Strait.
No, you know why?
What?
The songs are boring.
You know
anyway,
what?
Anyway, turning our attention to the news now at 6:23. I'm helpless. I admit it. I'm just helpless.
That's a Garth Brooks song.
No, that's Shameless, and it was written by Billy Joel, and I know that, see? All right, in the Journal Sentinel this morning, new story from Dan Bice. Joe Zepecki, you'll hear from him in just a bit. We always record our interviews late on Wednesdays, and so this part will be new, and then we'll get into Brad Schimmel talking about, you know, so-called irregularities in Milwaukee voting coming up in about 10 minutes. But Dan Bice has collected some of his greatest hits, Brad Schimmel's, of attacking the four liberal justices on the Supreme Court and others as well. Let's see. There was the Save America rally in Hubertus last August, where Schimmel referred to Janet Protasiewicz as the least sophisticated justice and dumb as a sack of hammers. There was him saying that Protasiewicz lies so often that if life were fair, her pants would literally be on fire. He described Justice Jill Karofsky as addled and crazy and said she is clearly angry about something. That's really the kind of thing you want to say about women with whom you disagree. He referred to Rebecca Dallet, Anne Walsh Bradley, Karofsky, and Protasiewicz as partisan hacks. He's called them nuts. He said that they were driven by their emotions and on the brink of losing it. Now, it isn't just, as Dan Bice says here, he doesn't reserve all of his criticism just for the women folk, end quote. He called conservative Justice Brian Hagedorn soft-headed for occasionally voting with the liberals on some issues where, again, he has the audacity to try to rule in terms of the law rather than what party bosses might want him to do. Schimmel declined to answer questions from the Journal Sentinel on Tuesday after his Milwaukee Rotary appearance. He later went on to have a spokesperson say, well, he's not looking to win a popularity contest with the current majority. And the Bice column goes on to list more details about the kinds of things that Brad Schimmel has said about being dumb, being crazy, being angry, losing control of their emotions. He accused Karofsky of yelling at the top of her lungs during one case. Everybody's looked back at the video of the case, and she's not yelling at the top of her lungs, but clearly Brad Schimmel must think that's the case when it's a woman that he disagrees with. Again, this is talking about people that, okay, you disagree with them, but they are ruling on the law as they see it. And that takes us to the federal judges that have to deal with President Donald Trump and Elon Musk and what he's trying to do. And when Trump doesn't like how a judge rules, he would criticize the judge. He would lob personal criticisms at the judge. He now calls for their impeachments. And now many of those judges have concerns about their personal safety. Well, a lot of this was started in part by the congressman from Western Wisconsin, Derek Van Orden, who was the first sitting member who called for the impeachment of federal judge Paul Engelmayer of New York. What's the crime that Van Orden deems to be worthy of impeachment? Having the temerity to insist that presidents have to follow the rule of law like the rest of us. Van Orden tweeted on February 20th, quote, "The time for judicial activism is over. The American people gave Donald Trump a mandate, and no politician disguised as a jurist will interfere with it." Engelmayer's so-called judicial activism was to say Elon Musk and his minions, who are not government employees, were to be not allowed access to the database of the United States Treasury, which processes trillions of dollars in payments every year. Van Orden's unique in being the first But since then, other members of Congress have followed in calling for the impeachment of federal judges who dared disagree with Donald Trump. So Van Orden is unique in his betrayal of the Constitution, believing that the president of his party can be above the law and have access to private data that can affect you, your business, your community. Just imagine Derek Van Orden's reaction if President Biden were to bring in a team of Silicon Valley data specialists and they were going to bring quote-unquote efficiency to that same Treasury database. Van Orden wouldn't be able to get to a TV camera fast enough to demand Biden's impeachment. He would demand Biden's indictment. And knowing Derek Van Orden, he would probably be demanding Biden's execution. That's what makes Derek Van Orden an embarrassment, or to use a term that he's fond of, a clown. Donald Trump this week called for the impeachment of another judge who tried to halt his most recent batch of illegal deportations. And it has ramped up concerns among all judges for their safety. Elon Musk has taken note of this. Elon Musk has now given the maximum allowable campaign donation to Derek Van Orden and other Republican members of Congress who called for the impeachment of judges. So congratulations, Derek Van Orden. You have received your 30 pieces of silver for betrayal to a Constitution that you had sworn an oath to uphold. Joe Zepecki's next. You're up north. Hey, welcome back on this Thursday morning. Time to talk to Joe Zepecki on this first day of the NCAA men's college basketball tournament, and it is the first day. Don't talk to me about the play-in games. This is it. This is when it starts. This is when the brackets really matter, is what I'd say if I'd filled out brackets and if Joe had filled out brackets. How are you feeling about the Badgers and Marquette?
I think they both have the capacity to make very deep runs, and they could be out by the first weekend. And that's both the blessing and the curse of college basketball these days. The reality is that the transfer portal and NILs have, just like they have impacted the college football game, they have impacted the college basketball game. When Wisconsin is playing their best, they can beat anybody in the country. When the shots aren't falling, they can end up in a rock fight like they did in the Big Ten championship game against Michigan. So that's the fun of it. Okay. And this has been Bracketology with Joe Zepecki.
that's the extent of sports talk for today. Because otherwise, you know, where we start with the state Supreme Court race. And I appreciate the diversion before we get into asking ourselves why would Supreme Court candidate Brad Schimmel still be raising the trope about how Milwaukee counts its ballots? Is this a dog that still hunts, apparently?
I don't know, but God, is it embarrassing. Yeah. Brad Schimmel knows better. Brad Schimmel is not an idiot, okay? He's wrong about a lot of things. He doesn't share my views of the world in many ways, but he is not a dumb man. This is dumb. To say, well, I'll accept the results of the election so long as there's no funny business in Milwaukee. And then what they always go to is the late night ballot dumps. Boy, Scott Walker was looking pretty good in 2018. Boy, Eric Hovde was looking pretty good in 2024. This is nonsense for two reasons. Number one, it's called math. Every single person who works in Republican politics knows it's math. It's why Joe Hendrick up in Minocqua was able to say at 9:30, 10 o'clock on election night, Eric Hovde is in trouble. He doesn't have a big enough lead everywhere else to make up for what's going to happen in Milwaukee. That's part one. Part two is the reason that those Milwaukee returns are reported late is because Republican legislators refuse to update the ballot processing rules. Right now, city officials, election workers cannot do anything with early in-person or mail-in absentee ballots before 7 a.m. on election day. They don't have enough bodies to process them in one day. It takes time. There has been a bill, a bipartisan bill, that Governor Evers would sign in a heartbeat. I believe it passed one chamber of the legislature, but the other one refused to bring it up for a vote. The ballot dump issue is a Republican creation so that they can undermine confidence in our democracy. That is what's happening here. And Big Lie Brad jumping on the bandwagon with this BS. Oh, wait, those are his initials. Isn't that weird? It's BS, Brad. Knock it off.
Yes. And by the way, yes, it was the state Senate that let that bill die. And why did they let it die? They let it die so that somebody like Brad Schimmel could say exactly what he said this week, to cast doubt on the process and for people to look at big, bad Milwaukee, because we won't help big, bad Milwaukee count its votes. It allows the trope to continue. And so he has earned every bit of ridicule that he gets for this.
Yeah.
For it is politically juvenile. It borders on political malpractice that if he has a campaign manager, would let him even talk like that. It's only going to appeal to the people who are going to vote for him anyway.
It's so stupid. It's like a high school team that has a go-to chant, right? It's just like, yeah. It's what you say if you're a Republican, but that doesn't mean it's not nonsense. It is nonsense.
Yeah. But part of another feature of the race, which arguably is worse than the candidate, you know, spouting this kind of BS, is the misleading ads that are coming from a Schimmel ally. In this case, one Elon Musk, who, along with it's got to be approaching $15 million by now, and some of that money is going for ads that, you know, are under the guise of being pro Susan Crawford ads, but, you know, then what, tag her as so extreme, you know, that it's actually an ad against her. Even the Journal Sentinel editorial board took a position on this.
I really think it's generous of you that you referred to Elon Musk as a supporter of Brad Schimmel. He's Brad Schimmel's sugar daddy. Brad Schimmel was desperate for outside support and begged outside groups to come in and support him. Well, Tesla went to court and sued the state of Wisconsin. And two days later, Elon Musk opened up the wallet. I've been doing this for a long time, working with reporters and the media. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel editorial board is not what it used to be. It used to be a body that would like interview candidates and make recommendations. That's no longer a thing they do. They would weigh in all the time on stuff. They very rarely weigh in the way that they did yesterday. But I just want to read some of this. The headline, Elon Musk's despicable disinformation tampers with Wisconsin Supreme Court election. That is coming out hot, and it is appropriate, but not it's like pretty surprising that they're doing this. Elon Musk is paying for a group called Progress 2028 that is falsely presenting itself as a progressive liberal organization and saying that Susan Crawford supports things she has never talked about, spending millions of dollars to make people mad about Susan Crawford, and it's all a lie. It is a lie. And the idea that we're going to let this billionaire come in here, as he's supposed to be, you know, busy disemboweling the federal government, and buy a Supreme Court seat with outright lies is shameful. This has got to stop. And the only way it stops is if we, the people, rise up and defeat Brad Schimmel by a healthy margin on April 1st. PSA, you can early vote in person today and tomorrow and next week. Go cast your vote.
Get that vote in. And by the way, to something that you said last week about how the Supreme Court election has become a referendum on the president and on Elon Musk, that is not just a Joe Zepecki point of view. That is not just a left of center point of view. One, Donald Trump Jr. Well, I visited Wisconsin recently and also framed the election as a referendum. So folks don't feel like, there's anything unseemly about keeping in mind in the voting booth whether you think this is the right track to be on or not, because even Don Jr. says, yep, go ahead, say what you think of my daddy.
I feel a little attacked, like you're equating me with Don Jr. And I just want to make clear, I said it first.
Yes, you did.
Don Jr. may be following my lead. Yes, there the Wisconsin go. State Supreme Court race is a referendum on the presidency of the Mad King Donald Trump and his Elon Musk Doge bags and merry band of minions firing tens of thousands of veterans, crashing the stock market, igniting trade wars and uncertainty, killing your 401k. If you are upset about any of that, whether you voted for Donald Trump or not, the clearest way to send a message to Washington and to Mr. Trump and Mr. Musk is to vote for Susan Crawford. Full stop.
By the way, if you're inclined to vote that way, but you're still just not sure if you're going to early vote or show up on April 1st, let me make clear, every Trump-supporting voter is showing up on April 1st or early. There's nobody that is on the side of what Elon Musk is doing who says, I might sit this one out. So, yep. Be complacent at your own peril, literally your own peril, economic and otherwise.
We're the first people in the country who get to vote in a statewide election. That matters. People are going to watch that. It would be one thing if that was the case in like Indiana, which is not a state where you can say, as goes Indiana, so goes the nation. Here in Wisconsin,
Virginia,
it's like, as goes Wisconsin, so goes the nation. We are the tipping point state. We were the closest state in 2024. We can send a message. We got to show up. We got to show out. We got to support Susan Crawford.
Maybe we make it a referendum on Ron Johnson as well. I don't know how he missed this last week, but as I was looking back at headlines, late last week, Ron Johnson said the VA isn't in trouble with all these cuts. He says the VA might have been overfunded. So there's what Ron Johnson thinks of veterans' health care is. You guys are the bloat in the waste. I don't think a lot of vets would take kindly to that.
I don't know what the wait time is at the VA. But it's not good. It is usually in the months that it takes to get an appointment. And the notion that the most powerful country in the world, who owes what we owe to the men and women who wear our country's uniform and put their lives on the line for us, that they can't get medical care when they need it, that they can't get mental health support when they need it. They got to wait months. And Senator Johnson has the audacity to say, what are you talking about? They're all fat and happy over at the VA. There's probably too many people. You would laugh at it if it wasn't so deeply insulting to those who have served and their families, because Republicans like Ron Johnson love to wrap their arms around veterans when it's convenient and when they want to feel patriotic. But when they actually want to make good on the debt we owe people, they're unwilling to pay it. And that is infuriating.
And by the way, I will have more to say about this in the next segment in today's history lesson, where we talk a bit about the anniversary of the Iraq War and the folks who were wounded there. So stick around for that. So that was Ron Johnson. Tammy Baldwin, on the other hand, is busy warning that the potential for Medicaid cuts is real. Again, for all the times that Democrats tried to tell people they're coming for your health care, and people said, I don't know about that. Well, between the VA and Medicaid, it's pretty darn real, Joe.
I'm going to see Senator Baldwin in a couple hours, actually, at one of her hands-off Medicaid events. She's all over the state this week, Northwest, Southeast, everywhere in between, listening to folks who benefit from Medicaid, who work for a living, who are able to live a life of work and dignity and fulfillment because of Medicaid. She's going to be talking with some folks. All kinds of stories, people whose children can't get all of the support they need through employer-sponsored coverage, people who have some mobility challenges and some of the chairs that they need allow them to leave the house and go work a full-time job, including as like civil engineers. Medicaid is a lifeline for more than a million Wisconsinites. And to my Republican friends, Medicaid also supports 30,000 businesses across Wisconsin. That's how many businesses bill Medicaid each year. if they take the wrecking ball to Medicaid in the way that they are suggesting they will, it will have a devastating effect on families. It will make everyone else pay more for health care, and it will cripple Wisconsin businesses and the people who work at those businesses. This does not make sense. It is not the right move, even if it wasn't to pay for tax cuts for rich guys and corporations. Elon Musk doesn't need another tax cut, but people who rely on Medicaid, they need that support. Because even if the dollars go away, it doesn't mean the needs go away. It just means the rest of us are going to end up paying even more for it. That's bad policy, and it's terrible politics.
And I'm jumping a couple of moves ahead on the chessboard here, but it does remind me that when these things inevitably happen, we're going to be told, oh, but we're going to put money in a health savings account for you, and you'll have the power to go get your health care wherever you want. We're going to
radio's not a medium where everybody can hear my eyes rolling out of my head, but they did.
Nope. But that's the preview of what we'll be talking about in the not too distant future. Joe Zepecki, thank you so much. Enjoy the games this weekend, and you're off next week. Enjoy a little time off, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
We'll see if they let me back in the country.
Let's see if they do. All right. We will, in our today's history lesson, talk about that anniversary of the Iraq War and have a bit of a birthday greeting to the Republican Party and what happened in Ripon, Wisconsin on this day all those years ago. Coming up next, here up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Neighbor.
Hi, neighbor.
It's time for today's history lesson.
Hey, not so loud.
I'm sorry, that wasn't very neighborly of me, but the guy next door.
Sorry, Pat.
Changes his shoes when he comes in the... I don't know. Fred Rogers was born 97 years ago today. Can't believe he's been gone for, what, 22 years now. Fred Rogers born this day in 1928 of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. How I liked that show as a kid.
How I love that show now.
Yeah. Let's see. There's a birthday today that I have to make special mention of.
Yes.
And that would be my former co-anchor at WEAU TV 13. That would be Judy Clark has a birthday today. So she knows that. And she was recently named a legend, a local legend by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association. So happy birthday, Judy. Love you. Love the fact that for the next 100 days or so, you're older than me. I remind you of that every year. Another birthday. Let's see. Jerry Reed. He was born Jerry Reed Hubbard in Atlanta this day in 1937.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Patooey.
Jerry Reed, 1937 to 2008. And Who doesn't miss a good Burt Reynolds car chase truck driving movie? Right?
My dad loved Jerry Reed, and he was a truck driver. So this, yeah,
yep, perfect. On this day in 1916, Albert Einstein published his General Theory of Relativity. Podcasters immediately said it was fake news and junk science back then. On this day in 1971, the number one song was by Janis Joplin. Sadly, Janis Joplin's number one hit came nearly 6 months after her passing this day in 1971. On this day in 1985, Canadian paraplegic athlete and humanitarian Rick Hansen began a circumnavigation of the globe in a wheelchair in the name of spinal cord injury medical research. It inspired a song that was performed by John Parr.
God, so 80s.
That was John Parr sang it. David Foster wrote it, and it was, of course, used most famously in the movie St. Elmo's Fire. On this day in 1990, Sinead O'Connor released her second album, I Do Not Want What I Haven't Got, with a single written by Prince, Nothing Compares to You, that would propel her to stardom. On this day in 2020, The Weeknd released the album After Hours. It would go to number one, and this single off the album would become one of the most streamed songs of the year.
When I was doing my recordings this morning,
yep,
this song on YouTube has 740 million views.
Oh, man. Well, remember, that was a COVID year. We were all inside and getting whatever little entertainment we could.
Yeah.
And internet streaming was big at that point. Tony in Ashland writes on YouTube about Chris Hansen, the paraplegic going around the wheelchair in a globe. He did that and caught all those predators. What a busy guy. No, Tony, different one. Anyway, on the national day calendar today, first day of spring equinox, everybody.
It's today or it's tomorrow?
It's today. It is today. And it's also why today is International Day of Happiness. We've made it through winter. There's a lot on the calendar today. There is it's National Proposal Day. Wouldn't that be Valentine's Day? Anyway, National Ravioli Day, Astrology Day, Bibliomania Day, meaning you don't just love books, you love books. This is National Bach Beer Day.
Yeah.
This is National Storytelling Day and National Oral Health Day. That and much more. Mr. Mathers writes on the text line, my niece probably accounted for 100,000 of those streams of blinding lights over the interwebs.
It's a good song.
It was a very popular one back in the day. All right, I've got a couple of serious history notes to talk about here. It was on this day in 2003 that the United States and allies began an invasion of Iraq based on flimsy or flawed intelligence about weapons of mass destruction. Hundreds of thousands in Iraq died, as did more than 4,500 U.S. troops. Tens of thousands more were wounded, with impacts that affect them to this day. They rely on a promise to care for them through the VA Health Center. And as Alicia, who's a veteran, notes, Joe Zepecki is right. The wait time at the VA is months. People calling into the crisis lines are put on hold. Veterans who are suicidal are put on hold because of cutbacks at the VA. That is breaking a promise that was made to those who took part in the Iraq War and more. Coincidentally, happy birthday to what is left of the Republican Party, born this day in Ripon, Wisconsin in 1854. Once representing the moral high road of American politics for its origins as an anti-slavery party, the GOP took increasingly sharp right turns in 1964, again in 1980, again in 1994, again in 2016, and again in 2024. Now, both the Republican and Democratic parties are unrecognizable from their original forms, one for the better, while one has very nearly traded places with its original foes, who would rather risk civil war than give up their extremism. So here's a birthday toast to the Republican Party and the hope that people who are on the center right, but closer to the center, can once again help their party find its way home. Much more in the second hour of Up North News Radio after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.